Good evening. Welcome to Council Connection for the month of April. I'm your host, Steve Dresser. This month, we'll hear from Rhonda Trott, ACB's tour coordinator. She was a guest at our annual BSCB Spring Banquet. But before that, let's meet our newest BSCB board member.
We have one more election to hold, and that's for the one-year term for the position vacated by Jim Denham. The committee has not placed into nomination the name of Diana Leonard. Are there any nominations from the floor? Are there any nominations from the floor? Third and final time, are there any nominations from the floor?
Move that we close nominations and elect Diana Leonard to the board by acclamation.
Seconded.
You've heard the motion to elect her by unanimous ballot. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Very good. Congratulations. Now, it's not uncommon under these circumstances for politicians to get up and pontificate and pound their chest about how grateful they are for your continued support and all that kind of stuff. So, I do want to give our newest board member a chance to say hello to us. So let's get that roving mic to her.
Okay, hello. My name is Diana Leonard. I'm from North Reading. I am a young professional. I went to college, got a bachelor's in English, and I am currently working as an online investigator for an investigating and adjusting firm. And I am very grateful for this position as board member. I've been heavily involved in Bay State on the student side of things for a while and stepped back due to some creative differences a while back, but have still been supporting the chapter. But I really wanted to get more involved in Bay State as a whole. Most of you probably remember Marcia Dresser. She was my teacher of the visually impaired for pretty much my entire time through K-12 schooling. And I always remember her talking about, you know, Bay State Council and ACB and how she always wanted to get more younger members involved, you know, to have difference of opinion and bring in new strategies and ways to do things, and I just feel like I'm just very honored, and I feel like that she'd be very happy if she were still here.
She absolutely would. It's nice to have a yuppie on the board.
Congratulations, Diana, on your election to the BSCB board, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Steve. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, me too. It's been a while. And, of course, I've known you for quite a while, but
yeah.
some of our newer listeners may not. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, what you have done?
Okay. I am 24, and I went to college. I went to Framingham State University and graduated with a bachelor's in English and communications. And currently I work as an online investigator for an investigating and adjusting firm. And I've been involved with Bay State for the last 5 or so years, mainly in the student chapter, but I decided to get more involved with the parent organization as a whole.
Okay. So you joined us, I think, when you were just starting college?
No. I graduated college in 2015. So okay. I think when I was a sophomore or junior. The year of the marathon bombing was the first convention that I had gone to.
Ah, yes. And I think that was 2013.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite a year.
Yeah, it was.
For all of us in the Boston area. In fact, we were kind of uncertain as to whether we were even going to have the convention that year.
But it ended up going off without a hitch, you know, minus the Friday sessions, but that's
yes,
okay.
Yes, yes. But Friday, nobody knew what was going on at all, any of us.
Right.
But anyway, you have traveled all of that way. You said you were involved with the students. You were president of the student organization or student chapter at one time, right?
Yeah, I was president of Bay State Students for about a year or so. I honestly can't remember. I've had many positions within the organization, and they all kind of meld together after a bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah.
And being a student's kind of a busy life anyway, because it's not just being a member of the student chapter. It's going to school, and, you know, that has all of its own craziness.
Yeah, tests and classes and trying to have a social life.
And whether your books are going to get there on time.
Yeah,
and
exactly. That's a big thing I think that students are still facing now is access to materials, because even though a lot of things have moved to be electronic, they're not always accessible.
No, they certainly are not. The irony of that, I think, though, is that people say, well, gee, you know, if it's available to you on the computer and you have a computer, then you ought to just be able to go get it.
Yeah, well, that's not always the case.
No, it's not. It really isn't. It isn't for any of us. But I think there's even more of an expectation that as a student, you're going to need to do that or going to be able to do that.
Yeah. And for myself personally, because I have partial vision, you know, I can read print, you know, if it's large enough. There was also the expectation sometimes that, oh, you know, if something was accessible for me, it might be accessible for someone who had no vision or had limited vision but was using a screen reader. And that also always wasn't the case, you know, if you're dealing with PDF documents or online books or websites or something that needed to be accessed. They're not always up to par on that.
Well, and of course, we as totally blind people, complain vigorously whenever we get scanned images of a PDF file. But
hey, I still hate that as someone who has partial vision because, like, even though it's a scanned image, if you enlarge it, it's all pixelated and distorted and it's hard to read.
Well, and then what if the text is blurry?
Yeah.
And certainly that can be a problem for us, but it's, I would think, almost in a way worse if you're trying to see it and you don't know, you know, is that a 3 or an 8 or
a, yeah, and sometimes if it's a scanned document that was made into a PDF, it might not have been put in straight to the scanner. Like, it might be on an angle.
Oh, yeah.
I've had documents like that sent to me where things were on an angle. Some words were cut off. It was a nightmare. But it was fixed eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you, when you're using something like, I guess it's Zoom Text that you use, right?
Yeah. Basically.
Can you rotate the document a little bit?
No. You can only rotate them at 90 degree angles.
Oh, well, that's kind of a bit more of an angle than you might want. Yeah. That's not good. So anyway, now that you're on the board, I guess some of what I think people are going to be wondering is you obviously ran for the board for some reason. You didn't just wake up one morning and say, oh, I think I'll join the BSCB board. At least I hope you didn't.
No.
So what were you thinking?
Well, I was very ecstatic to hear that I had even been nominated for this position. I had been wanting to get involved with the Bay State as a whole for a while and had considered the board as a possibility. But what I really think, you know, is a good thing for myself and for Carrie Schooler, who's another board member who's around my age, is that we are kind of starting to get into a transitional point with Bay State where maybe they would like to start bringing in younger members, not necessarily students, but people who are in their mid-20s or 30s who would like to get more involved and do some more outreach and focus on issues, you know, more pertaining to the age group and the coming generation that is, you know, blind or visually impaired.
Well, that's right, because we know what. And certainly a lot of us who are involved in Bay State now got involved when we were 25 or 26 or 27. And we knew what the issues were for us, but they're not the same issues.
Right. A lot of things do, you know, still work across the board in terms of, you know, Braille literacy, even though I believe that the rates may have gone down a bit with all the electronic stuff that's out there. But, you know, there are new and improved, not necessarily improved, but new and different ways to do things now.
Well, that's right.
Compared to how it might have been, like, even 5 or 10 years ago.
Absolutely. Braille displays are cheaper now and more plentiful.
Yeah, and we have that cool new IRA technology with the glasses and the satellite.
Yes, I've been hearing a lot about that. Are you using that? Or?
No, I don't really understand what it is, but I know people use it and they find it very beneficial. I personally don't know if it would benefit me because of the amount of vision that I have.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a really, really cool thing. Like, that's just amazing that we live in a time now where someone can wear a pair of glasses that's, you know, connected to a satellite, an agent on, like, the other side of the country, and they can tell them where they are standing in their house or in an intersection or whatever, and help them.
I've heard of people using that to find their way back when they were lost.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's certainly been a problem that I've had all my life. If I get lost, I better hope that there's somebody around that I can ask the directions, and even more to the point, somebody that will be able to give me directions
reliable.
That make any sense.
Yeah, or that they're just reliable and they, you know, don't just give you a half-hearted, like...
Yeah, or do what happened to me one time when I asked for directions to somewhere and the person answered me, and the answer was something like, "You think you're having problems? My whole life is falling apart. I can't be bothered to answer your question."
You know, that happened to me once, actually. I was at the Porter Square T station trying to get outside of the T station. I had never been there before, and I had my guide dog at the time. And I knew there was a set of stairs near us, but I didn't know that that was the right staircase to take where I needed to go. So I kind of, like, I saw that there was a girl, like, nearby. So I approached her and I asked her if that was the correct exit, because I was meeting a friend of mine. And she was like, "Oh, honestly, I don't know. I'm just so frazzled right now." And I was like, "Okay, well, thanks."
You kind of want to say, "Well, gee, you know, I'm kind of frazzled myself.
A little bit. I'm kind of going on a date here."
Yeah. I'd kind of like to get there before tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Diana, I think we're going to be looking to you for great things on the board, and I don't mean to put you on the spot by saying that, but I mean that more as a statement of the fact that I think you've already done great things and will just continue to do what you've done just to go on with your own life. And we're glad to have you as a part of BSCB, a part of our board, and let's hope that you are able to make some things happen for young professionals, because as you very astutely point out, we definitely need them.
Well, thank you, Steve. I really appreciate that, and I'm very looking forward to what I can contribute to the board and just getting more involved in Bay State in general.
Well, that's great to hear, and I wish you the best of luck, and I know that many people are going to be rooting for you all the way here.
Thank you.
Diana Leonard, our newest member of the BSCB board. You're listening to Council Connection on the Talking Information Center Network. The show also airs on the second Tuesday of the month on ACB Radio Mainstream at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you have any thoughts you'd like to share about anything you've heard on our show, please leave us a message in the BSCB mailbox at 617-923-4519. Among his presidential duties, Brian Charleston gets to host our BSCB annual banquet held every year at the BSCB Spring Conference and Convention. Let's listen now as he introduces ACB's tour coordinator, who was our guest speaker this year.
So, I would like to introduce you to you now, one of my two great Alabama friends. You heard from her husband this morning, David Trott. Rhonda and I do things together at mid-year. We get to go and look at tours together as we select which ones we're going to do and which ones we aren't going to do. And my good friend Rhonda is going to share with you some of those experiences as ACB's tour coordinator. Please join me in welcoming Rhonda Trott.
Thank Thank you so much for having us this weekend. It has been, y'all might not understand this word, but awesome. We love it, and I've met a lot of people and made some very good friends, and I hope to see you all at National Convention again in the future. First of all, before I start telling you about tours, I'm going to tell you about a little bit about myself. I graduated from the Alabama School for the Blind in 1972, do the math. We were the largest class to ever graduate from the Alabama School for the Blind, and still are. There was 21 of us. 11 of us had the same eye problem. I then went to Jacksonville State University, where I got my BS degree with a major in sociology, a minor in psychology, and a minor in law enforcement. Can you imagine having to take a class to learn to shoot? My instructor said, "I think we can rearrange this a little bit for you," which he did. He was probably safer that way. I went to work with our state welfare agency. I retired after 36 years in June of 2013. I became involved with ACB in 1972 and have been involved ever since then. I have served on every position in our local level and state level. My sighted friends don't quite understand why I do what I do. As I tell them, it gets in your blood and you just can't let it go. I also do a lot of volunteer work with the Alabama Institute for Deaf and Blind. I would do a lot of things. David and I are very involved with the kids at the School for the Blind. We also have just started a housing program, and I am on their housing committee. It's kind of a unique program. We joined with the Presbyterian Home, which used to be an orphanage, and they have cottages, and we have four of those cottages. And for blind, deaf, and deaf-blind, it's kind of like a dorm setting in college for some of it, and then some of them have private rooms with bath that has a huge living area, kitchen, and for those individuals that aren't able to maintain living alone, they make application to our committee, and it's an extensive application, and then we make a decision if they're going to be able to go into our housing program. In the future, when we fill up, we have 28 slots. When those are filled, the Presbyterian Home is going to start building little cottages that will be like kind of like a townhouse, but not quite that big. And those people that can live independently will be able to move to those, and then we'll have places to put more people. It's a new project. We have only been doing it about 6 months. We, at this current time, have 15 participants, and hopefully we'll be growing more for those that need it. I think I flipped the card too fast. Let me tell you a little bit about my hobbies. I love to read. I love to cook. Brian and I are always talking about cooking. David and I do a lot of work in our flower gardens, and we like to cook and entertain. It is nothing for us to do Thanksgiving dinner for 30, 35 people. All right, let me tell you how I got involved with tours. In 2000, the convention came to Alabama in 2004. Well, in 2003, after the 2003 convention, Burl Colley called, who was the tour coordinator at that time, and I started working with him for tours in Alabama. And I worked with Burl each year from then on until he was no longer tour coordinator in 2006. Well, there went my passion. I loved it. But then, fortunately, after the convention in 2015, I got asked by Janet Dickelman, who was our convention coordinator, to serve on our convention committee as tour coordinator. I didn't have to think about it at all. I said, yes, ma'am, because I love it. I enjoy putting tours together, trying to make them very accessible, and my passion is to be sure that everybody that goes on the tour has a good time and enjoys themselves. Nina told me last year, her and Frank got off the bus at the tour, and Nina said, Rhonda, you're like a little mother hen. You got to keep all your little chicks in a row. I said, that's right. I count and recount. I don't want to leave anybody anywhere. Okay, how I determine what tours we're going to have is the host committee will send me suggestions. David and I go on the internet and look at things in the area. And Janet and I talk about them, and we pick out the tours that we'd like to do site visits on. Brian is my sidekick. He goes to do site visits with me. I've put him in an old-timey electric chair and belted him in. He does have pictures to prove that. Brian and I have been on an old Ferris wheel. A merry-go-round. Now, you think... No, I wasn't on no Ferris wheel. Now, Brian and I aren't any young chickens, so you ought to have seen us getting on and off that horse on that merry-go-round. It was a treat. But we were determined we were going to do it, weren't we, Brian? Okay, site. What I do is I contact different places, talk to them about who we are, what we need, and set up site visits. I always try to take someone who is totally blind, low vision, and we go and look at the sites. We make suggestions of things they can do to help us make it more accessible, a better tour for you. Some of the tours that we do, the people that we work with get very passionate about it. But then we have a questionnaire that we fill out on each place we go after we visit there. And then Janet and I make the final decision if we think that tour is going to be accessible. I do a little bit of everything with tours. I get the bus contract. We have to meet with bus companies to get the best bus contract we can get. Even if you get sick on the tour, I go out and hang out at the hospital with you too. So every now and then we do have a few accidents, and it's just what it is. And so we just go and take care of you and be there as long as we got to be there until we can bring you back to the hotel. But we hope that doesn't happen too often. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the tours that we're going to be doing this summer. So hopefully I can encourage some of y'all to come to St. Louis. On Friday, we're going to the Arch. We'll go up in the tram to the Arch, and yes, you can take your guide dog. They've made arrangements to remove some of the seats from the tram so the guide dogs will be more comfortable. And then we're going to see the museum. The museum will have its grand opening on July the 4th, but we'll be there on July the 29th. We're getting our own, June 29th. We're getting our own private tour. We'll do a boat cruise, have lunch on the boat, and also see a film. And they have an awesome gift shop for those of you that like to shop. That night, I know this makes Kim and Brian happy, we're going to see the Cardinals play, and they're going to be playing the Atlanta Braves.
So,
do what? Saturday, we're going to tour Busch Stadium, the Cardinals Museum. You'll be able to try on a ring, pose with a bat, World Series ring, pose with a bat. You can have your picture made. Our city tours are going to be a little different this year. We're going to do a trolley tour. It's air conditioned, and we'll have those. There'll be four city tours, and they're spread out during the week. Sunday, for those of you that like blues, we're going to the Blues Museum, have dinner, and have a blues concert. Also, there'll be trolley tours that day. On Monday, we're going to the Botanical Gardens, the Missouri School for the Blind. Oh, and we'll be having lunch at Botanical Gardens and at the School for the Blind. If there's any way I can work it out, I'm going to fix it where you get to eat. Monday night, we'll be going to Muni, which is an outdoor amphitheater. It's their 100th birthday. We'll be celebrating that. We're going to be able to go backstage. They're going to have costumes and things on mannequins that we can look at. And we're going to be singing in the Rain, and it's going to be audio described. If you want to gamble a little bit, you can go to the casino for a tour. On Tuesday, we're going to Chocolate, Chocolate, Chocolate. That's our candy tour. Unfortunately, we won't be able to tour the factory because most of their people are off that week, but we will be able to go to the tasting room, and they're going to tell us about their facility, and you'll get to sample candy and go shop. I guess this is my most favorite tour we're doing this year is Anheuser-Busch, not because of the beer, but you will get to sample beer. And we're going to be able to spend 1 hour with the Clydesdales. You'll be able to touch them, see how big they are. And if you have phones, you can make your picture with them. And they're real excited about doing that. Another tour we're doing that day is we're going to the old courthouse. It has a lot of woodwork that you can feel that is just beautiful. Also, the lawyers group is going to do a mock trial at the courthouse. It's going to be the Dred Scott case. The courtroom that they will be doing their trial in is the actual room that the trial took place. The original judge's bench, the prosecuting attorney table, and the defense table. And the rest of us that are not acting out will be spectators. We'll be doing a historic, where our hotel this year is a train station, old train station, Union train station. We're going to have a historian come and we're going to do a walkthrough, and they're going to tell you all about the train station and when it was used and that kind of thing. So I think for you history buffs or people like Frank that likes trains, he'll really enjoy that. That's going to be on Wednesday. On Friday, we're going to Hannibal, Mark Twain. We're going to go through the cave. You'll be able to see where Huck Finn left Becky the notes in the post office, which was actually in the cave. We're going to the Mark Twain Museum. We'll have a lecture there. You'll be able to touch some things there, and the curator is just excited about us coming. We also will do a boat tour there and have a sit-down lunch. Then we'll come back and see a movie. But you're going to have to get up early to go with me because we're leaving at 5:30 in the morning. Hannibal is 2 hours away, and to get everything that we've got planned in that day, we just need to get there early. The cave is actually, they're opening an hour early for us so we can get everything in that we want to do that day. When we come back Friday night, those of you that like haunted stories and things, we're going to have a dinner at Morgan's Pub, and it's the gentleman that does the haunted history tour is going to do haunted history stories for our group about St. Louis. The one thing I'd like to tell you, be sure that when you come to St. Louis, drink lots of water, carry water with you. They have told me to expect temperatures to be in high 90s, 100, heat index 104. And those are the tours that we're having this year. Somebody asked me today about which was my hardest tour. Well, the first year I did tours was in Minneapolis. I had this tour at the Arboretum. And if anything could go wrong planning that tour, it went wrong. So anytime I have problems with a tour, it's my Arboretum. But we made it through it, had a good tour there, but it just seemed like you plan this, that wouldn't work. You plan something else, they'd say, that's not going to work. And I finally said, yeah, we're going to make this work. So we did, and I'll be glad to answer any questions about tours or anything like that that you'd like to ask me. I didn't hear what he said. Friday. It's Friday, June 29th. And it's a night game. The other two games were in the day, and we decided it would be much cooler to go at night. I didn't hear you. Oh. No, most of my stories are sad. I end up at the hospital with you. I want to tell you, though, what happened last year. I had a gentleman. We were at the baseball game. And we had that with that game, we had a buffet, and we'd gotten everybody served. And I sat down to eat, and I looked up, and I had just taken a bite of my sandwich, and I don't know how I ended up from where I was sitting, but I jumped up, and by the time the gentleman fell and hit his head, I was right there by him. So we ended up having to go to the hospital, and this was before the game even started, and we were there till probably 11:30 that night, and you know, he's doing fine, doing well. Well, about a month after we got home, I get this package from Amazon, and it's cookies, and I think, where? I didn't order these cookies. There was no note. There was nothing in them to identify where they came from. Well, we kept looking. We looked online, couldn't find out where they came from. Well, I get this phone call, and this lady said, did you get your cookies? I said, yes, ma'am, but I didn't know who the cookies were from. She said evidently they didn't put our note in. And I said, no, ma'am. She said, well, I thought it was awful strange that you didn't respond. And it was from the gentleman that I had went to the hospital with, thanking me for staying and being with him. But you know, when you do tours, you really meet some nice people. When I did tours in Minneapolis, we had an awesome bus driver that just was there willing to help. His name was Rich. And last year we had Lorna, who was our bus driver when we were there in 2011, she was our bus driver. Well, she was our bus driver last year, and she just fell right in there, helped with guiding, you know, things that she didn't have to do. And her and I today are still friends on Facebook. And she's always sending me pictures of her travels and where she's driving the bus. I tried to get her to move to St. Louis for a few weeks, but she said she didn't think her boss would let her do that. So, but the lady that we're working with in St. Louis is very sweet, very nice. But so, you know, we're going to have a good year this year. Does anybody else have any questions?
Not so much questions, but I want to help you tell a couple of stories.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to go on this side of you if I may have time. Right. You stay up here because you've got to say this is true or not true. We were going to go see a baseball game. Remember the baseball game?
Oh, Lord, yes.
Where I got onto the bus with lots of other baseball fans.
Yes.
And it started raining. Pretty bad. And so the bus moved forward one bus length and then stopped. And stopped. And we sat there for a while. And people are tuning in their radios because that's how they were going to get the play-by-play at the game. And we got mixed weather reports about this and that. And then the bus moved forward one bus length. And well, maybe we're going. You know, maybe they know more than we do. Then the bus backed up two bus lengths. That was the most expensive four bus lengths worth of trip I ever took in my life. But the next day, those who weren't delegates to the convention, Carl, and others, snuck off in the middle of the convention to go watch the makeup game the next day.
Yes.
But it wasn't me, was it, Ron?
No, it was not. Brian
no,
did
it
not
wasn't.
Go. But now, do you think I didn't hear about it? Yes, I did. Oh, remember our balloon episode?
Oh, yes. That was the same convention, was it not?
Yes.
Everything I bought a tour ticket for got canceled. So, one other one was a hot air balloon ride. You had to go out and be out early in the morning because the winds all had to be going the right direction. And it got?
Canceled.
Canceled. I mean, I had already arranged with ACB Radio to broadcast from a hot air balloon. I mean, that would have been the first we'd ever done. But it got canceled. Did they ever get one of those balloons up?
No.
Nope, no. Never did. Never did.
Do you remember what you asked me when the last balloon got canceled?
No, tell me.
Is it all right if I go to the banquet or is it going to be canceled?
Yeah, I'll tell you. It was not the best year for me to do those kinds of things. You meet some spectacular people, and if you go to the convention often enough, you get involved in some of these stories. Back the first convention I ever went to, I bought tickets to go on this riverboat cruise. Aren't riverboat cruises fun?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Well, this riverboat cruise, apparently everybody thought it would be. This is in Miami. And we go down out of the hotel to get on the riverboat cruise. Advertised, by the way, as taking us to an island for a nightclub-like experience. Well, 500 blind people come out the front of the hotel. And up comes a 50-passenger bus. And 50 blind people get on, plus the 25 that are standing in the aisle. So we had to get those 25 to agree to get off. And up came the next bus. Did they learn with bus number one? No. On went 75 passengers, 25 having to get off. And this was repeated multiple times until the last bus was full and headed all of 3/4 of a mile to where we were going. We got there, and the cruise was on a flat-bottom boat, and the plank from the dock to the boat had no rails. And only one of us experienced that deeply, but one did. All of these blind people getting on, and this is true, right, Rhonda? This is how it works.
This is how it works.
So all of these blind people with canes and dogs get on this boat. Unfortunately, being a flat-bottom boat, it had all kinds of rows of the lightweight folding chairs. On came all those canes. Within less than 15 minutes, no chair was facing the same direction it started. Tipped over, bent, turned around. Eventually, we all got seated, and the boat took off very slowly. You couldn't feel the boat was doing anything. It was going up the lazy river by the old mill, you know, that kind of thing. And they had a calliope on board. Now, on the tour up the river, it was a guided tour. And there were houses of the rich and famous. We love those kinds of tours, where the tour guide says, around the next corner, you're going to see the home of Evel Knievel, that man who tried to jump the Snake River on the back of a motorcycle. And we come, he says, there it is, just off to your left. 500 blind people go, ooh. Am I right?
You're right.
We do these things, right?
Yes, we do.
And we did this all the way up the river, wound another bend. Ooh. We get to the island, and out goes the plank with no sides on it. But now we've got patrol people on either side poking you to stay in the center of the thing. Now, I lost my date getting on that boat, but I found her getting off the boat when somebody who was smoking a cigarette ran into her from behind, and she was wearing a backless dress. And I recognized that scream, didn't I, Kim?
Yes.
Yeah. So I found her, and we went in and we sat down on these lovely outdoor dining. Now, imagine naturally weathered park tables with the bench that's attached. Line up 250 blind people on either side and say, have a seat. Now, 249 people are going to raise their right foot and kick the other person in the butt on the way in to sitting down. And then they'll kick one another again, not having learned their lesson, going the other way until everybody's sitting down. And what's the first thing you do when you sit down at a something where everything's in front of you? You explore. It turned out that our meals came with rum punch in glasses with a 1.5-inch base that stood 12 inches tall. And you heard this, kush, push, kush, push, kush, push, all up and down that table. And the smell of rum did rise to the heavens. Then came dinner, which was barbecued everything. Barbecued everything. And each table had one wet nap. This is what happens, doesn't it, Don? Huh?
Yeah.
Am I correct?
But thank goodness I wasn't the tour coordinator on that tour. Do you remember when we, Brian, do you remember when we went to the Earth?
Oh, yes.
And the guy got so excited when we were doing our site visit and wanted to touch the stuff.
It was amazing. There was this three different, I'll call them museums, on a university campus. And one of them was all about the universe. And they had a giant sphere in the middle of this thing that was to represent the sun. And they had on their main display floor two globes, one of the Earth, pardon me, and one of the moon. all topographical, all turning in time with what the planet was really doing. All behind ropes, of course, until we got there. Down went the ropes. I got to see the moon pass before my eyes. It was very nice. I got to see great things that way. And we got to see where the flags were planted on the moon. And it's amazing, amazing when something gets to be a globe that's 10 feet tall, how much you really can see of the topographical part of it. Only for us.
Right.
Only for us, not for anybody else. That was a great, great tour. I'm going to finish my last story and let you know that only because you're the tour guide, the lady in charge of tours, do I ever go on tours anymore. Because my early stories, I'm still seeking therapy. that same riverboat cruise had a nightclub show. And we all got up from our chairs, kicked one another thoroughly again, touched the shoulder of the person in front of you with your barbecue fingers, and went off to this open air, you said, say it for me, amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater. Right, we went to an amphitheater. And now there's all these benches, naturally weathered, and they're stacked so close together that your knees are the backrest of the person in front of you. And when I say naturally weathered, think splinters. All right? When you got up, you wanted to be sure to go straight up. No shifting left or right. Or you're taking lumber home in your backside. And I could hear several people make that comment on the way out. But the show was amazing. Out came the first act, a ventriloquist. I tell you, I didn't see his lips move once. A juggler. Oh, that's really good. Unless you heard a thump and he failed, you didn't know what was going on. A fan dancer. Guys, it was a real disappointment, okay? You expect to almost see something when there's a fan dancer. And a magician. I'm telling you, every act was just so outrageously wrong for blind people. from one to the next to the next. So the show gets over. We all kick one another and put our sticky fingers on the person in front of you and get back on the boat. And now we're going back down the Lazy River, back to where we came from. I was wearing remember it was nightclub-like atmosphere. So I was wearing a sports jacket in Miami in July, outdoors. I was hurting bad because the day before, I was a student back in those days, and the day before we went skiing on the Intercoastal Waterway, and I had such bad sunburn from my mid-thigh down to my toenails that I could see the sunburn. That's a sunburn. So we get on this boat, and it starts going down. Remember I said about the calliope, right? Have we've had some fun musical events over the course of time.
Yes.
Symphonies. You were saying a blues concert that's coming one, right? Lots of music. I can't stand listening to a calliope anymore. The calliope played Take Me Out to the Ball Game for 45 minutes of cruise. Over and over. And over again. I must have had one of those calliopes where you put in the roll and it plays the same thing over and over. There probably wasn't a guy up there playing it. It was just that same paper going around and around. It was great fun. If you ever get a chance to come to ACB conventions, you got to go on at least one tour. Don't be the last one on the boat. The one time I did that, the only seat left was next to the smokestack on the Mississippi River. And for 4 hours of cruising, I got to hear about how one grows tomatoes down in Alabama. Trust me, I don't want to grow tomatoes there. But nonetheless, it's great fun. It's always worth it, especially if you keep an open mind about it and know that what you're there to do is enjoy fellowship. And we do that. We We flung good old Carl through a slingshot one time. That was fun.
Yes.
Questions for Rhonda? Do we have a microphone?
While they're bringing you a microphone, I do want to thank Brian for his help with his stories. And there's one thing about it. We have a blast when we do site visits because some things you just wouldn't believe what we get into.
How about that first run? What was that? Amethyst? What's that kind of booze? You took me to that.
Oh, to the.
No.
I can't pronounce it.
It was an illegal booze until about 3 years ago.
Absinthe. Yes.
I have the absinthe. And
that's
the bottle,
when we went to the vineyard.
That's right. And the bottle is numbered 003. The third bottle they ever sold of that hooch.
Rhonda? Yes. I just have to tell you, when my favorite tour when we were in Minnesota was the South Pacific. It was one of the best. I mean, and I'm into Broadway since I was a little kid, and I had seen it, you know, back in the 60s. But I have to tell you, that was like the best tour. It was wonderful. And just, you know, just it must take a lot of work to do all those tours, and I think we should realize that you don't know any more than we do how some of them are going to turn out. But that was my favorite. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes.
On the Laura Ingalls Wilder tour, and I had a one-on-one guide for an hour and a half. That was just totally amazing. There were so many volunteers there. And then we went to the candy store, and that was really fun. But it was a long day, but it was such a wonderful, wonderful tour. Thank you.
Now, you guys, don't let her make you think you're going to have a one-on-one guide. That was the luck of the draw. We do try to have enough volunteers to kind of keep us all together and be sure you see everything. Volunteers that work for me know that I'm kind of, David would say stern.
No, that's not what it is.
That's probably not really he would say. But they know that if you volunteer for tours, our goal is to be there to make you have a successful tour and a wonderful time. I do want my volunteers to be able to see things also, but the attendees come first.
Hi, Brian and Rhonda. It's Mika Paikala, and I've been on a number of tours. One of my favorites was the NASCAR racing experience. And I'm kind of curious if you can expand more on the site visits, like kind of the reactions that you get, you know, when they know what kind of group we are. And, you know, you said that some people have kind of a zeal and passion, you know, for doing it, but have you ever gotten some sort of different kinds of reactions or had to really try to convince the venue, you know, that it would be fine for us to go? Or if you can just talk a little bit about that.
But they've talked to me so many times before we get there for a site visit that they really want to make it work because they're probably tired of hearing me on the phone. We've had a few places that we've talked several times, and then Janet and I'll talk, and we just say, I don't think this is going to work for our group because they... Brian will tell you also, most everybody is excited and willing to work with our group, but you do get those few that just say, I don't think we can do this. And, you know, I'll say, sure, you can do it. We can do it this way. And Brian will say, we can do this. And they still say, no, I don't think this will work. And so when Brian and I do our little checklist and it says, is this tour feasible? They get a no. And so we don't even look at them again because they're not going to be willing to work with us.
Yeah, if they're not going to work with us, they're not going to see our green. We vote with our feet and our dollars. I want to thank Rhonda for all of the work that she does for ACB and for all of us.
Thank you.
For being here as our speaker this evening. I know she's been frightened to death. She asked the committee, why don't you put David on in the evening, and I'll do a little something during the day. And David says, like hell. So, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My favorite one from this last convention was the lady who went to the dude ranch with her walker. Needless to say, horseback riding was not part of what she planned on doing. But there was a nice little lake that you could do trout fishing. And she's out there doing trout fishing, and she's creeping a little closer to the shoreline and get her toe in there and a little closer. And then the front wheels start to sink. Right, Rhonda?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? Did she go in?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know her favorite part, that lady? She got the biggest fish. That's all she remembers. I caught the first fish. That's my fish right there. So it always turns out pretty good. It was very frightening that day when the gentleman at the ball game took the tumble. You guys can imagine sliding into a row of ballpark seats. Are you facing the seat or are you facing away from the seat you're going to sit in? Kind of an important thing to know, right? Well, this guy was only following orders when he was told, that's your seat, have a seat. And he sat on the back of the seat of the next row back toward the field and did a flippity-flop over that. And had he been one row farther forward, we wouldn't be telling these stories, because that's where the railing was down to the field, about, what would you say, 20 feet down. So we do in ACB occasionally luck out. Even when we have an injury, it's something we seem to recover from.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time this month on Council Connection. If you have any questions or comments about anything you've heard on the show, please leave us a message in the BSCB mailbox at 617-923-4519. I'm Steve Dresser, and I hope you'll join us again next month when we return with another edition of Council Connection. Enjoy the rest of April, and take care.